I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Do you want to know how I knew that AEW Dynasty was going to be an amazing pay-per-view? Because it started with Okada versus Pac. Also, hello, my friends. It's Simon Miller here. And that's right, I am still in the United States of America. So I've just watched the pay-per-view from All Elite Wrestling. And I've come into my strange room so I can take the finger of power and give the good bits an up and the bad bits a down. Problem is, it's very late here. So I'm going to have to be a little bit quiet. Otherwise, I'm going to wake people up. The first time ever the UK wins. But seriously, even before Okada and Pac had locked up, everybody was going, holy shib, because they couldn't believe it. And this is where actually we do need to take the finger of power and give it up for this crowd, because they were so loud from start to finish. I think the total was around about 6,500, but if you had told me 15 were in there, I would have believed it. After some wrestling, Pac then hit his go button, and he hit this Hurricane Rana and dive that was so effortless, I actually got mad at him. It also reminded me how much I had missed this guy. He is quite easily one of the best talents of this generation, and maybe ever, you can make the argument. He's just too good. Pac also worked over Okada's arm because it was the Rainmaker arm when he gave him a brainbuster from the top rope. And I counted this, it was only like the fifth move. Okada then turned it around because he kicked Pac off Tina the Turnbuckle. And because Pac had thrown him into Barry Barricade, he threw him into Barry Barricade. And because they were in a stalemate, they just started punching each other in the face. And like a lot of matches on this card, I think they forgot what wrestling was. This was really, really stiff. Okada soon hit the surprise dropkick, which is always a joy, when they fought back to the outside. And Okada gave him a DDT off Barry into the mats. And Pac sold this like he was going to die. And it actually freaked me out a little bit. Okada then laughed at this, which made me chuckle because it was so devious, as Pac went and did a springboard moonsault to the outside. Like, once again, it was nothing. When Okada took over and he pretended he was going to do the Rainmaker pose, and instead, he flipped everyone off. So don't you come into my fake house and tell me that this isn't the best version of Okada when it comes to characters, because it absolutely is. Somehow Pac got back into this and he went for the Black Arrow, but he totally missed. And this is when these two started trading the most devastating moves in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll-ups. And when that didn't work, Okada just grabbed him and he gave him a tombstone. But then Pac somehow reversed that and he was doing a brutalizer while he was stood up. And I was going through the wrestling move book. I was like, nope, it's not in here. Okada then had to rake his eyes to get out of this. But when Pac tried to hit Black Arrow number two, Okada was holding the referee, which meant the bastard had to delay his jump, which allowed Okada to get the knees up. He hit the Rainmaker and he got the 1-2-3 to retain his Continental Championship. But you're allowed to point the finger at him and say, man, you were a big cheater. Still, this was a fantastic opener. And on any other show, it probably would have got the golden up. But I'm grading this one on the curve so it gets a normal up. But honestly, you've got to go watch it right now. We then had the six-man tag after this because it was Adam Copeland, Mark Briscoe and Eddie Kingston taking on the House of Black. Once again, this was just like taking your fun gland and plugging it into a hole. That sounds way worse than I meant it to. Malakai Black and Briscoe started off and they did some wrestling as everybody tagged in so everybody could go with everyone else, apart from the former Edge and Malakai, because it sounds like that's going to be our next feud. So we made sure to keep them separated. The best bit is when Mark Briscoe got in there. Because as soon as he gets the tag, he just flies at 100 miles an hour. And he was doing stuff in the ring. He was doing stuff out the ring. And he was doing that pig squeal that he somehow shouts to distract people. Once again, he just makes me happy too. Because he just wants to have fun. He's Cyndi Lauper. He also jumped off a chair, cleared the ring post and took out Buddy Murphy. It didn't work. Because Brody King saw this and he just crushed him into Barry Barricade. And that was the other best part of this fight. We treated Brody like he was Godzilla or something. And you know what? I believe it. We also had this ridiculous bit because there was so many people in the match where we got double power bombs followed by a big old superplex. But I love stuff like that. If you do have multiple bodies, why the hell not? And just another shout out to Adam Copeland, because he now goes into all these matches and he tries to recreate everybody else's style, which he doesn't have to do. Round of applause. We then moved into the whole you hit me, I hit move, everybody else hits everybody spot, with everybody hitting their finishes on Brody King. But once again, I enjoyed this because we're protecting that man, which we should always do, because we are portraying him as a hot. Buddy Matthews was able to break that up at the 1-2 ooh, but this is when Adam Copeland got back in the ring. He took everybody out when he spied Malakai, and he was like, ha-ha, I've got more experience than you. Turned out he didn't, because he ran in for the spear. Black went, pfft, and he spat the mist right into Adam's face when he hit the big old kick and he pinned him for the 1-2-3. So now we'll probably get a little bit of a change of character from Copeland, because he had the goo in his eyes, but also Malakai could come out and dynamite and say, I think I deserve a TNT title shot. And he's absolutely right. So it was such a good finish, and it came out of nowhere in a good way. But once again, it planted the seeds. I cannot say enough good things about this whole show. And it's getting it up. It's also true for Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale for the TBS title. I mean, Willow just ran at Julia to start this because she was so mad at her. And at one point, was basketballing her face off the canvas. I enjoy seeing this because Willow comes across like such a nice person. But when she does overly aggressive stuff, you're like, huh, I don't want to mess with you either. We also saw Mercedes Moné watching this from the back. And she was doing that thing that people do in WWE when she was looking at the screen like this. It made the internet melt down, but me seeing that makes me laugh every time. So you know what, as dumb as it is, keep doing it. Julia eventually was able to get the Heartless, but Nightingale was able to wriggle out of that when Julia went for the moonsault and she missed it. I was like, boy, you're having a bad night. This was true too, as the fans started losing it for Nightingale, because she came flying out the corner with a lariat when she hit the Dr. Bomb and she pinned her for the 1-2-3. I mean, this was the shortest match of the show, but actually it benefited, because it was just like taking a shot of adrenaline and sticking it in your arm, and to see a babyface like Willow Nightingale get that title, warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum. Sophie Hathaway and Chris Statlander also hugged her afterwards, which was a lovely moment when Mercedes Moné decided, I'm going to walk to the ring, I'm going to do a bit of a dance, I'm going to look at you, and then I'm going to leave. However, if you did listen to the commentary, they were saying, oh, I can't believe Mercedes has stolen Willow Nightingale's moment, which leads me to believe that maybe Moné is going to go heel. And after everything we've seen, I believe this is the right choice. We also now know that it is going to be Mercedes versus Willow Nightingale at Double or Nothing, so we can get into that build. But honestly, this fit in like a glove, and I just knew it. I knew at this point it was going to be an all-time pay-per-view. I don't think I was wrong. Up. If you think the Dynasty let up after this, you're totally wrong, because like hell it did. The international title was on the line, and it was Kyle O'Reilly taking on Roderick Strong. Now, everything in this feud has been fast-forwarded because we got here so quickly, but I don't care, especially because the story here was Roderick going, hey, I know you've got a bad back, and I know you've got a bad neck, which is why you were away for 2 years, so I am just going to give you 52,394 backbreakers until you give in. Taz was also great here as well, because he continued to sell this, as he did Carl's offense, because at one point he went after Roddy's shoulder, and that started to weaken too, so good old Taz was like, man, now they both got weak spots, what's going to happen? Strong was also so devastating with all these backbreakers, it totally got the fans behind Kyle O'Reilly. He had all the sympathy in the world, so when he started to apply those submissions, there was just a little bit of hope that he was going to do the impossible. You really do have to go and watch the exchange of punches they do as well, because once again, they were just hitting each other in the face. But the fans came so unglued for this, it got me all revved up as well. And again, it's quite late here, so I kind of have to go, yeah, get him, you can do it. Then I sound like an absolute crazy person. It did get weird towards the end because Wardlow just walked out and he was going to get in the ring, but he chose not to get in the ring because the referee saw him, when he essentially shouted encouraging words at Roderick Strong, who hit the end of Heartache, and he got the 1-2-3. Now, I've kind of zoomed through this a little bit too fast, because we do have so much to talk about, but in terms of being slightly anticlimactic, yes. Yes, it was. That doesn't matter, though, because the rest of the match is so damn technical and so damn well done, I can totally give it a pass. Even more so, because the Undisputed Kingdom as a whole were here after this, including Adam Cole, who got out of his wheelchair like he was Linda McMahon at WrestleMania 17. Shouldn't have said it. It's also important to note that Adam made sure to glare at Wardlow, so I don't think he's long for this group. And if he does get kicked out, someone needs to go to Ward and say, bro, you are trusting the wrong people. But it did make me go, oh my gosh, that's yet another story that we're winking and nudging on the pay-per-view, telling you to watch the TV. So yeah, when you put this in a big ball, I am going to give it an up. I just want to make it very clear. In terms of a technical match, this absolutely kicked ass. Dynasty then continued to be stupid because it was Hook versus Chris Jericho for the FTW title. And while this one was always going to be controversial, that actually added to the fun. Wasn't 100% sure what we were going to do. I kind of wanted Hook just to win in about 42 seconds because I think that would have sent a great message out there. I'm also a bit worried that the AEW fans are turning against Chris Jericho because at one point they were chanting, Fozzy sucks. Then they were telling him to go home. Now, Hook did out-wrestle him for ages and also dropped him with a German suplex on the floor. And you do have to give credit to Jericho there. He is 53 years old and he landed right on his neck, scared the shit out of him. They were then smashing each other with trash cans and trash can lids, because why wouldn't you do that, when a table got set up and Hook actually T-boned Chris Jericho through that thing. And once again, the landing was totally gnarly. So credit where credit is due, here's my credit. Hook also at one point put the trash can over Chris Jericho's head and smacked it with a kendo stick and gave him a big old suplex. And of course, this is when I was like, well, all is going to be right with the world, because this is essentially a hardcore match and somebody has introduced a kendo stick. Jericho then threw Hook through a table as well to get out of the red rum. And when he went to make the pin, he put his feet on the ropes. But as the commentators told us, it's FTW rules, you're allowed to do that. Not 100% sure the referee realised. Eventually we got to the walls of Jericho, and like Taz on commentary, I was freaking out because I was like, man, don't let Hook submit. That would be terrible. But actually, Hook got out of this, and what did Jericho do? He booted him right in the balls. Damn it. Now I did go man at first, because he also hit the Judas effect, and he got a 1-2-oo, which I didn't see coming. And then I went man again, because once more, he hit the Judas effect, but Hook kicked out again. At that point, I can't lie, I was getting excited. Instead though, Jericho went and got a back and screamed at Hook, don't make me do this, which makes no sense, because it's a professional wrestling match. When he just walloped this guy right on his head, he gave him another Judas effect, and yeah, this time, did pin him for the uno dos tres. Taz also made sure to check on his son after this, and it does kind of put me in an odd situation, because in no way do I think the Hook should have been losing this, but also actually the way they constructed the finish, well, I thought they did a pretty good job, and it did make sense. So I'm going to be that guy instead, because yes, in terms of a match layout, I am going to give it an up, but it was way too long and probably should have been cut down by about 5 minutes. And yeah, I just can't find a way to justify Hook not winning. It would have done the world of good for him. I don't think it would affect Chris Jericho at all. We do have to wait and see. But taking the FTW title off Hook is just a bit strange, unless all those rumors are true and he is going to NXT. Like I say, it's just speculation. But that part, well, it gets a...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah. It was way better than expected, though, because both guys know what they were doing, which was the same for Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa for the AEW Women's title. And if you want to tell me this was the best title defense that Toni Storm has had so far, this man agrees. We also had the big old story here, because Thunder had never lost the women's title properly, so she was desperate to get it back. when they basically attacked each other like they were Bart and Lisa Simpson, they were doing the arm wearing. Nigel McGuinness was also losing his mind on commentary about the timeless one, which made me laugh. At one point, they too were punching each other in the face when Thunder decided, I don't like any of your entourage, and she did a big dive, and she took out Tony and Luther. Mariah May then sort of danced around to cause the distraction, but it didn't work, because Thunder got back in the ring, and she was choking Tony with her feet, and when they got to the slaps, you could hear the skin-on-skin noise. It's another one, they weren't holding back. Tony must have been watching the Roderick Strong match because she started busting out backbreakers. But yes, this also tied in, because why was Rose away from the ring for such a long time? Because she's got a bad back. So all of a sudden, the commentators were melting down. That's not going to help you at all. Thunder Steel was able to return with an avalanche powerbomb when she also hit a Samoan drop, which started making me rub my chin because she's not Samoan. Then I suppose she did hit a crucifix bomber too. She's definitely not a crucifix. At this point, Thunder Rosa had so much offense, I did get worried, because usually that means you are going to lose. And it continued when she gave Storm a DVD onto the ring apron. And go and look at Luther's face. He knew this was bad, and he knew it was the hardest part of the ring. Storm was able to get back into this with a rope-assisted codebreaker, and she hit a tornado DDT, and she hit a sky high, and she hit a perfect plex. But she could only get a 1-2 ooh. They then traded again and started slapping each other, including headbutting each other when we got back to the German suplexes. This is when I got my wrestling movebook out again. I was like, they've done it as well. There's nothing left. Ryan May must have felt the same because at this point she jumped on the ring apron, but this is when Deonna Purrazzo ran down to the ring and they fought off to the back. And Thunder saw this and she was very disappointed because she had chatted to Deonna and what did she tell her? I do not want you getting involved in my match. So like any good professional wrestler, she totally forgot that she was wrestling. She was distracted. She turned around, Tony Storm hit the hip attack. She hit the Storm Zero. And she only got a 1-2 ooh. That one really popped me. That was a great false finish. I totally bought it. Storm then put her in the Texas Cloverleaf because, of course, that will work her back. And when Rosa got out of that, she tried to choke Tony Storm. But then there was some kerfuffle with the ring apron, which meant the referee had to go and sort it out. So Tony was like, and she kicked Thunder Rosa right in the groin. She hit the Storm Zero. She got the three, but she's another one. She definitely cheats. Seriously, though, this was yet another excellent match, which just fit in so well on this card. If you have a few hours, you really need to watch this thing. It is getting it up. When AEW told us that it was time for Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay, and here's a few things I'm just going to let you know about. One, it somehow exceeds expectations, which doesn't make any sense. And two, it was one of those fights that when they looked at each other, these fans went totally crazy. And that's when you know in your tootsie toes, it's probably going to be an all-timer. And it was. When they were chanting, this is awesome, just because they were so happy to see them in the ring together, when these two were just ducking and dodging and transitioning and just reversing everything the other person had, but they were doing it at 150 miles per hour and every single thing looked so damn good, it hurt me. It made me sad because I don't have this kind of skill at anything in my life. How do they do it? Obviously, the chops came next as Danielson was going for submission, so Ospreay did a hurricanrana. But this is when Bryan took the palm of his hand and he whacked Ospreay so hard, he fell down like he'd been shot. Danielson was then just punching him in the stomach as hard as he could as they got really confused. But you already know the deal. William then came back and he was flying around the place and he did this dive to the outside and he did these kicks that are picture perfect. I mean, these two, I'll use that word again, may actually be perfect for each other. Like I've seen one match and now I definitely need at least 92 more. He also wanted the hidden blade, but Danielson just kicked his arm away when he went back to the submissions. And that's when I was like, these two should be arrested because nobody should be able to be this good at anything. We then did that awesome spot when Bryan went to throw him off the top rope, but Ospreay landed right on his feet. But then when he was going for the sky twister press, Bryan was back and he pushed him from up there and Will Ospreay just landed in a heap on a floor and he just popped up and kept going. That probably would have killed me. It was nothing compared to what the American Dragon had in his head though, because they actually went back to the top of Tina the Turnbuckle and he hit a tiger suplex with both of William's arms being hooked. And when they fell on the floor, it was just disgusting. I don't know how they pulled that off. I mean, it was so brutal, Ospreay had to use the ropes to break up the 1-2-3, when, of course, he just hit the Oz Cutter onto the ring apron, and he hit the hidden blade. I was doing it again. They've done everything. They've actually done everything. And this was so well done, given that Bryan Danielson was on the outside. If it had ended on a count out, I would have gone, you know what? I understand why you did it. When Will just flattened him and hit this mad bomb of power for another near fall, what even was this? Bryan then felt like he needed to be more absurd, so he actually turned an Oz Cutter into an armbar. But when Ospreay broke free, Brian hit the El Mystica and he went right into the yes lock. And I tell you, I have seen many beautiful things in my life. That has to be number one. It was smoother than my head. What followed was some of the most brutal yes kicks you've ever seen, and a bunch more 1-2 oohs. And of course, when Ospreay tried to do a bunch of flips, Danielson caught him with a running knee. And that's when I just run out of words, because what else can I tell you? Danielson was so mad about this, though, he then decided to kick Will's flubbing head in when he applied the triangle choke. What did Ospreay do? He turned that into a stars clash. This is what I did when I was watching it. It was just like, ha ha. What are they going to do next? Ospreay must have taken a med pack when we weren't looking, though, because he then did hit the hidden blade. And this is when the damn thing peaked, because he went for the Oz cutter and Brian Danielson hit him with a running knee in what has to be, and I mean this, one of the best reversals I've ever seen in my life. They then stared at each other and basically became bulls because they ran, seeing who could do their finisher first. And it actually turned out that it was going to be a Will Ospreay, because he got the hidden blade when he totally freaked out and he dropped Danielson with the Tiger Driver, which freaked the referee out to the point he called the doctor when Will didn't care, and he smashed Brian with the hidden blade and he got the 1-2-3. But the whole time Danielson was on the floor, it genuinely looked like he'd been hurt. So this really was on another level that I'll never be able to fathom. And if you do see people on the internet saying this was one of the best matches ever, sure, there's a little bit of recency bias in there, but I actually think it too. I shall rewatch it in a few days and maybe in a month, and I'm pretty confident that yes, it goes right into the top 10. And sure, there was a post-match angle with Brian acting like he was properly injured here, and I hope that I am just being worked. Otherwise, I'd be really, really worried. But if you put that to one side, of course, this doesn't just get an up. It gets a golden up. I'm just going to say it one more time. I have a feeling it may be one of the greatest wrestling matches that I have ever seen. I mean, the chemistry that these two have and their all-time as it is, my word, it was flubbing excellent. We somehow then got the Young Bucks versus FTR in a ladder match for the tag team titles. This is when I decided that AEW Dynasty was the epiphany of 2 plus 2 equals potato, because none of this makes any sense. Now, of course, this was always going to be a struggle for them because the crowd was so worn out. And even though it was kind of quiet for the first 5 minutes, these four are so skilled at what they do. They won them back. And surprise, surprise, it was another classic. We weren't mucking around either because the ladders were introduced almost instantly with people being backdropped into them. So between this and the last match, I didn't know what to do anymore. And at some point, Dax was busted open. When the Bucks also had a bunch of chairs, they were just swinging them around like they wanted even more of the red stuff. Matthew and Nicholas also set up a ladder bridge, which always scares the shit out of me. But Cash Wheeler, he didn't care about this at all, because like he was in the Matrix, he just slid under the damn thing. He also somehow did a moonsault off there, but it turned out this was going to go very badly because Matthew then saw that his crotch went into this ladder when, surprise, surprise, the Young Bucks got together and they smashed him with the EVP trigger. Why wouldn't you do it? And I don't think I've ever seen that before, someone being trapped in a ladder when they crush your balls, when he must have upgraded his HP2, because from nowhere, Cash Wheeler did the best non-hot tag I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he was like Sonic. He was so quick. Howard didn't want to be left out either, and he then hit a slingshot powerbomb off the ladder, which was also totally ridiculous. This is when it got even more silly, because Matthew went through one table, and Dax went through another, and he got Hurricane Ronan through one. So this was just the definition of escalation. And it was kind of funny, because at this point, I was like, I think these two have totally forgotten they're meant to be climbing up ladders to get for the titles, but I didn't care, because it was so entertaining, especially when, yes, FTR did the Shatter Machine from the ladders. And I was like, that's it, we gotta be done. I was totally wrong though, because FTR then did the powerplex from top of the ladders, and you already know what I'm gonna do. I can't help myself. I reintroduced the wrestling book, and I was like, man, they're gonna have to add some addendums because it's not in here. This is when they all went off as well, because Nick Jackson hit a 450 onto a ladder where Cash Wheeler just so happened to be lying, and at the very same time, Dax grabbed Matthew Jackson and he pile drove him through that ladder bridge. And that was extra scary because the thing kind of gave way before they did hit. I genuinely hope everyone's okay. Cash then went for this massive dive and missed. And he went careering through a table like he was Darby Allin, which actually did open the door for Dax to start climbing a ladder. And he was going to win when we did get our big surprise. And it's as we did predict, a fan ran in the ring. And of all the things, they were wearing a Sting mask. Although when we took it off, who was it? Dun, dun, dun. the returning Jack Perry. He made sure to push Harwood to the floor when Matthew did scurry up those things and he grabbed the championships, and they were over the moon as Jack Perry did get escorted off the premises by security. But look, this is one of those things. Sure, it's a little bit too obvious, but the reason it's obvious is because it's the right thing to do. He also got a massive pop and a Cry Me a River chant, and of course now the Young Bucks are the tag team champions and also the EVPs. So don't let anybody tell you otherwise. This too was a super good match, and it's getting up. Now at this point, of course, we have our main event to go, and a small part of me even felt sorry for Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland, because even though the world title was on the line, I was like, man, this crowd is going to be totally dead. But as it turned out, everybody was desperate to see Swerve become the champion. So man, did it have some good heat. And they just continued to shout Swerve's house, especially because Strickland had this awesome entrance where he was Black Panther, or at least dressed up like him. And then we got a nope spot early on when Joe walked away. So Strickland was like, that ain't gonna happen. He kicked Joe in the head. He knocked him to the outside when he tried to do a dive. And Samoa was so pissed off this hadn't worked, he threw Swerve right into the announce table. I mean, seriously, who's better than Samoa Joe? He then went totally insane, though, because he removed the mats on the floor and he was actually going to muscle bust Swerve into the concrete. Now, look, Strickland was able to get out of this and he ran at Samoa Joe, but because Samoa Joe was a psychopath, he slammed him onto that thing. Much like Jim Ross, I ask you this, how the flub do you learn how to fall on concrete? They put the power in Joe's hands and he just absolutely kicked the crap out of Swerve for ages. And in fact, Nigel McGuinness had the best line. He said, man, he's taking a drubbing. Good word. Strickland then decided to boot Joe in the legs, where he also hit a German suplex, which is actually kind of impressive, when he too had a plan. He was going to try and work on Samoa Joe's arm. The thing is, though, Joe didn't want him to work on his arm, so he just picked Swerve up. He powerbombed into the turnbuckle when he hit a muscle buster, and he got a 1-2 ooh. Now, this kind of surprised me, because I didn't buy this at all, and not many people kick out of the muscle buster. I just think AEW has trained my brain that matches will go a certain amount of time. That one didn't really click with me. Samoa then went and grabbed the title because he was sick of this, but it didn't work at all because he got hit with a house call and a 450, as well as a stomp, which gave us another 1-2 ooh. But I'm going to be honest with you, for the second time, this also didn't get me, because again, I was looking at my watch going, man, we haven't had enough time. I was right. Joe also knew the ref wouldn't care by this point, so he took his thumb. He just tried to gouge one of Swerve Strickland's eyes out, when Strickland kind of panicked too, and he was going to use the championship, but Samoa Joe got out of the way of that, and he applied the Kikina Clutch, oh no. Amazingly, Strickland actually used Joe's thumb against him to get out of that. And because Prince Nana was shouting at him, break it, Swerve, he did. He took his hand and went, pfft. I'm not sure that's kosher. We then got a brilliant near fall, though, after the house call, when these two actually went to the top of Tina the Turnbuckle, when Strickland did one of his crazy agile moves, and he jumped over Joe when he made sure he came falling down to the floor when they had this great moment where they kind of looked at each other. Strickland hit the Swerve stomp, and this time I was like, oh my gosh, that has to be it. And the ref went one, the ref went two, and the ref went three, and I made all the noise because Swerve Strickland has become the AEW World Champion. I don't care, man. That is historic. This really was just lovely as well, because you could see the emotion in Swerve's face, and the crowd erupted for this, as they should have done. Listen, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. No one deserves this more than Swerve. Since the first time I saw him live when he came over to a Progress show, I was like, oh my gosh, this guy has something. He's just got a wrestling brain, so it is going to get an up. And seriously, even if you decide you don't want to watch Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson, you should watch this. Remind you why wrestling is so damn good. Which did indeed bring us to the end of AEW Dynasty, and I have no qualms about this. Overall, it is going to get a golden up. It is genuinely, from an in-ring perspective, one of the best pay-per-views you're ever going to see. So I stand by. Also, make sure to get in the comments now and tell me what you thought about the thing. Maybe you didn't like it, which is also cool. I'd love to hear your perspective. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Click the video on the screen, which will be ups and downs or smack it down, so we can cross all of those streams. Otherwise, thank you for joining me, my friends, and supporting me, even when I go on my adventures. Now I think I'm going to go watch Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay again. Somewhat depressingly, I'm not joking. Goodbye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.